For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The New York Jets. I feel that we had to go in a different direction.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Andrew Siciliano.
Got another home run for Pete Alonso.
Two-run homer for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Focus lead NFL draft analyst Trevor Sikkema. Coming up, Lions running back David Montgomery. Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Hey there, it is me. Today and tomorrow, Rich is in London. He shall be back soon, as in next week. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for being here. Trevor Sikkema joined us this last hour. Coming up in mere moments, David Montgomery, fresh off a bye, running back for the Detroit Lions. They are on their way this week to Dallas to play the Cowboys, where hopefully, TJ, everyone remembers to rub their belly properly in front of the official, and we make sure this game comes out clean, and may the best team win. Good to see you all, Chris Brockman, TJ, Michael.
Man, it's been a minute. Missed you in Vegas over the weekend.
I wish I could have gone there. Vegas, obviously, the big Syracuse victory over UNLV.
When the Keys is in the house.
I was back east with the Browns. They were in Washington. I could have gone on Friday night. Really kind of sort of wanted to, but figured because Washington is home, the family is there, would go a day early, spend time with the family, watch the Guards game on Saturday afternoon, the shutout 7-0 in game one over the Tigers with the family, with my dad. So I did that instead. But a good time had in Vegas.
Good time was had by all.
It is a fantastic stadium, Allegiant Stadium, for those who have not been there.
First time I'd ever been. It is awesome. And they had fans only in the lower bowl.
Which is cool.
Really loud. Really great energy, vibes. Tons of Syracuse fans made the trip. And so we had a lot of fun celebrating with the strangers wearing orange at Mandalay afterwards.
Which is also fun. You could walk right back across the bridge over the 15. There was a lot of orange there the previous Sunday when the Browns were there. I was there for that one. And I will say this, Raider fans want to push back, but we all in the building were in agreement. There was more orange in the building that day than there were black and silver.
Yeah.
Just, it was a fact. So orange on Sunday, orange on Friday.
Yes.
Orange, you're glad. The one thing about that building, and it is great, getting out of it is a mess. If you're on foot, there is this idea, oh, well, let's just walk down from the strip, which you can. There's the bridge over the 15 from the Mandalay. Yep. If you're on the west side of the strip, it's fantastic. Even the east side, just get to the Mandalay and walk. It's great. But getting out of there, whether it's an Uber or, oh, I'll just walk back to the Mandalay or the Excalibur and get a rideshare.
Tough.
Yeah, that is tough. It is a mass of humanity, and it is not ideal. But you want to come to Vegas? Your favorite team's going to Vegas.
Go to a game.
Go.
Done.
It is
do it.
Fun. It's pretty cool.
Definitely do it.
What's going on today? Aaron Rodgers is speaking today. He said he did not get Robert Saleh fired. He is actually resentful of those remarks. It didn't happen. He did talk to Woody Johnson on Sunday after the game. Or rather Monday, he said. Regardless, he spoke to him, said he didn't tell him he's going to fire him. He didn't do it. He says it's a reminder of the personal and how horrible the side is of the business. Family, obviously, feels for Saleh's family, said Saleh was the reason he went there. He didn't deserve this, blah, blah, blah. But he repeatedly did say that the one thing this team needs is accountability. And he has said that before, and he said it again today. And so there is your message. This team needs to be held accountable. Who needs to be held accountable? What's going to change? Our players benched?
Probably him. He needs to be held accountable.
Is there a change in play caller? We don't know if that's going to happen, but the reports have been that Saleh was going to take those responsibilities yesterday away from Nathaniel Hackett. He would keep the title, but demote him in essence and give them to Todd Downing, who's called plays before, notably in Tennessee. I think that may still happen. How does Rodgers feel about that? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Also today, Kevin Stefanski says he is still calling plays in Cleveland. That is not the unexpected outcome. I think it's also the right move. He is still doing that there in Cleveland. Drake May is the new starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. That was made official today by Gerard Mayo. Those are your major NFL headlines. And also, Nico Collins is going on injured reserve. He has the hammy injury, but it's now going to be a month, at least a month, as the Texans put their number one guy and the guy that is leading the NFL in receiving. Good for him. He's kept it going, got the contract, and has kept it going. Unlike some other wide receivers who got the contract and haven't kept it going, this guy has. He is going on injured reserve, and that is a big blow here for the Texans, but they get the Patriots this week.
Oh, come on. We're homecoming? Come on, man.
Huh?
We're a team's homecoming? Or is this you just pencil in a W?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
We scored 10 points last week at home.
10.
I'm excited to see Drake May. I am.
Drake Maye, Andrew.
Drake Maye.
Drake Maye?
Yeah, Drake Maye.
What is that his Dothraki name from Game of Thrones?
Seen it.
What are we talking about here?
I haven't seen it.
I have not. Man,
that's his
G-Rags Aurelian.
That's his Key and Peele name, Drake Maye.
Keegan Michael Key came in a few weeks ago, and we gave him a bunch of names to read as Mr. Garvey.
Yeah.
And we came up like Lad McConkey is
now. Ladidi McConkey.
you got Blake Corum, Mike?
Yeah, Blake Corum.
Corum is.
Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
Balake Karoom. And Drake May is Drake Maye.
Chase McLaughlin is Chase McLaughlin. How did you not see this? Duke this Riley didn't make your algorithm?
I'm sorry. He was on the show. I know that he was on.
I'll send it to you. It didn't make your algorithm?
I just missed it.
It is pretty amazing.
Hold on.
I'm
texting to you right now.
What would he call Florida State quarterback DJ Uiagalelei?
His brother
Mateo, who plays linebacker for Oregon.
I think the beauty in that skit is he takes names that are seemingly quote unquote normal sounding. I don't want to, And they make them into something more than it. So DJ Uiagalelei already has
DJ
Uiagalelei.
His name is already tough to pronounce.
Yes.
I wrote the pronunciation of his name in a note when he was Cuba and Clemson five schools ago, just so five I would always know ago. How to
he,
to
he
say
is well traveled. Yeah, definitely well traveled.
All right, I'm gonna send this to you, Andrew.
Okay, thank you so much. In all seriousness,
if you are
in Florida or if you are anywhere where Hurricane Milton can get to you, please stay safe.
Please take
all the warnings from any and all officials and weather professionals. Seriously, be safe. Our thoughts are with each and every one of you. If you hear the sound of our voices, hopefully this is something to listen to. Not going to make it any better, but to keep you company at least, and get out of there. Just get out of there. Take it seriously, please. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Bruce Feldman will be here ahead of some of the biggest college football games of the year, including, as we mentioned, Mateo Uiagalelei, the Oregon Ducks hosting the Ohio State Buckeyes on NBC. It is that, I don't call it rare game, but it is those, look, we have a lot of games that we circle before the season that when you get there, you're like, maybe not. And this goes for both college and the NFL. Like, they don't necessarily live up to it by the time you get to that Saturday or Sunday in the fall. This one has. They are both undefeated. They are both in the top five. They are both seemingly destined for the college football playoff. Yeah, this one hopefully lives up to the hype because we got to game week with a clean sheet. Like, we're here.
Yep.
It looks good.
Where do you come out on the college football playoff kind of lessening some of these regular season matchups.
I don't think it's lessened them, but I do think that it obviously gives the team that loses the game. They still have hope. Like, I'm talking to my neighbor a couple of days ago. My neighbor, big SC guy, big SC booster. I used to teach at SC. He goes all over the place to follow SC, he and his family. And after the loss in Minnesota, he was down in the dumps. And I'm like, but there's a chance. Like, yes, you have two losses. And dropping from 11 to out of the top 25 is not ideal. And yeah, you got to run the table now. But I'm telling you, there is still a chance because you just got to be one of the 12. I know it's bad math. Okay. And unlikely. But for teams that lose, you are still in it. And to me, that's realistic. To me, that's how sports should be. And it was a frustrating thing for me for years, and I think for all college football fans, this idea that unless you were in the SEC, you had to be perfect, right? Your season is over if it was something other than perfect, unless you were in the SEC and you still could talk your way in because we're better than you. Oh, we play a really strong schedule. We're better than you. We can still get in if we don't have to be perfect because life is really tough on us. Like, and the idea that now other teams and other conferences don't have to be perfect unless, you know, maybe you're the group of five school that's trying to sneak in, right? Maybe you have to be perfect. Not all the rules apply to everybody. I'm all for it. Brockman, to answer your question, I like it.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I do. I think it keeps more teams involved. I'm just wondering if we're going to get a little bit more chaos and ultimately the best team won't end up winning the championship, which is that what we really want?
But is the best team only the team that's perfect at the end? Or is the best team the team
in the old in the old system and the BCS, the best team always won the championship for the most part.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. But don't you think we're going to find out who the best team is when we have the best teams playing each other?
Yeah, but one versus two. I mean, those are the two best teams, and they would always play each other, and the best team won the game.
Okay, does the best team always win the Super Bowl?
Most of the time. Usually, yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
Except for 2007.
Well, let's say a wild card team makes a run. Are they not the best team?
Yeah, but that's what you get with a tournament format.
And I guess my question is, why isn't this the same?
Well, one versus two. If you had just had the two teams in the conferences play each other in the Super Bowl, you would guarantee the best team won the Super Bowl.
I mean,
but having any type of tournament.
Isn't always a tournament the best way? Isn't a tournament always the best way?
Well, when it's one game elimination. Like, if you look at the NBA playoffs, the best team always wins the championship because it's a 7-game series and the cream always rises to the top in that scenario.
I've just never heard you during the NFL playoffs go, this format is really unfair. I don't think we're going to get the best team out of it.
No, because it's all we've ever known. With college football, we're adjusting and adjusting and adjusting. So I always have contended that the BCS always got it right. One versus two always played each other and the best team always won.
Interesting.
Now you open up to a tournament and weird things can happen.
Well, you know what? Let's ask this guy's opinion. I mean, it's not what he thought he was going to talk about, but we'll do it. Iowa State's David Montgomery joins us. Also, the Detroit Lions. David Montgomery joins us here on behalf of Scouting America. We're going to get to that, David. You just walked into, by the way, thanks for joining us, a college football conversation where Chris Brockman over here claims he doesn't think that the college football playoff format is right because the best team's not going to win. That doesn't make sense, does it? Tell him he's wrong.
I'll say he's wrong, but I think whoever wins and advances is the best team.
Thank you. That's what I said. Yeah. Like, no one ever watches. I'm not trying to bring back bad memories. I thought you guys could have been the best team last year, but no one ever watches the Super Bowl and is like, man, I don't think the team that's raising the trophy is close to the best team. Like, no, they won the tournament, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. Sorry.
Thank you. See, we're on the same page, David. We're starting this off right. We appreciate you being here, man. You're back to football this week. You're back to Dallas. The week five bye is weird, isn't it? Like, did you do anything like Hawaii or did you just get healthy?
I got healthy, but I took my son and my niece to Disney World.
Oh, that's awesome. Ooh. How was that?
Overwhelming, say that at least.
First time? First time down there, David?
First time, okay. First time in the entirety of my life. My son, he's 22 months old, and he enjoyed the Airbnb more than he enjoyed Disney World. So next time I won't get any tickets, I'll just stay at the Airbnb.
Every parent says the same thing. Like, you take your kids down there. Like, did you do like the character breakfast with the princesses and all that? Do you do that?
We did a little bit of that. At SeaWorld, we went to, they did this super cool Sesame Street, like, parade. It was awesome. Like, they had the water going. My son was playing in the water. My niece was playing in the water. And out of nowhere, you see Bert dancing in a full costume, you know, just going down the street. I'm like, we need to watch this. It was probably like a 20-minute show. It was super cool. So I think that was probably the coolest part of the whole vacation.
David, this is the good stuff here. Dancing Bert with water guns. I mean, this is fantastic. Yeah, talking to David Montgomery here of the Detroit Lions as they get ready for a trip to Dallas. Obviously, you know what happened last time in Dallas. Has Ben Johnson or Dan Campbell addressed it this time? Like, everyone rubs their belly properly. Like, we're doing everything the right way, and we're going down there and beat the Cowboys.
We're just going to go out and play our game and be preparing for this team as we prepare for any other team. Last year was last year. Whatever happened last year is in the past, and we just focus on now. So we're preparing for the Dallas Cowboys the best way that we can, and we're excited to go put on the show.
David, how fun is this offense to play in?
Super fun. Super fun. I think being a part of an offense where you got anybody in the game that's liable to pop for a big one or a touchdown, I think it makes it super hard for people to prepare for. And I think it's awesome to know, like, we got everybody who want to be elite and be that guy challenging and taking everybody else around them to a different kind of level of play.
Amon-Ra threw a touchdown when last we saw you guys on the field. When are you going to get to throw one?
Oh, that's a good question. Hopefully in the near future.
Was Jared trying to sell it? Because he was kind of jogging, right? I mean, or was that just Jared at top speed trying to get to the pylon?
Yeah, I love Jared to death, but that's probably his top speed.
Because I thought maybe he was slow playing it to try to sell it, and then he's going to take off. But I didn't see a lot. I don't know what the PFF grade was. I didn't see a lot of separation there from the defender.
Yeah, if you look at the week before when we played Arizona, you see him get that first down. He was rolling right there. Like, that's JG, you know what I'm saying? Like, JG got some speed on him. It's just his own kind of speed. Whatever makes JG happy and what makes him feel nice, I'm all for it. But, yeah.
We're talking to David Montgomery here from the Detroit Lions, who's here from Scouting America. I promise we'll get to that in a second. One last thing. David, you now are a proud winner, two-time winner this year. A friend of the program, Kyle Brandt's scepter here for Angry Runs. The one that you had in primetime on Monday night was just bonkers. Take us through what it's like in those moments. Do you disassociate? Like, when you hit someone that hard, when you know you're in the middle of an angry run, what does that feel like?
To be frank, I honestly didn't know. Like, when I caught the ball, I had no expectations of him being there that fast. But the first thing I thought in my head, like, all right, let me just protect myself. And from there, I just was running. And, like, that play wasn't a play without everybody else, though. Like, did you see Taylor Decker blocking, like, six people?
Mm-hmm.
You see, like, Panay Sewell run down the field, same round. Like, that play is only as good as everybody else around me. So I think, like, yeah, I caught the ball and I made a couple guys miss. That's cool. But I think, like, the real value in that play is, like, seeing those guys run and hustle around me so that we can, you know, go drive the ball down the field. I think that's what makes that play so beautiful to me.
Because it's much different than me in my basement doing it on Madden and jumping up and going, yeah, it's a lot different when you actually have to feel that collision. Do you have the scepter there or is it in the building?
It's in the building. I'm actually trying to get it. Both of them hung up on my locker, like on both sides. It almost looks like it's like the two fire holding scepters in like the Game of Thrones when you walk through like the castle. Like, I wanted to kind of look like that in my locker. So we trying to get in that deal together right now. I've been trying to get some of those little, you know, the little tape, the double-sided tape.
Yeah.
I'm saying it looked real nice.
All right. I love the redecoration there. Go get another one. I mentioned Scouting America. You've been involved in scouting for a long, long time. Obviously, your kids are important to you here as well. Tell me about Scouting America, what you do still with them, and how big of a role they've had in your life.
Yeah, the biggest role. So my troop was Troop 772 in Cincinnati, Ohio. My scoutmasters were LaDon McClellan and Jim McMillan. And they're two strong, formidable African-American men who took a risk on bringing a group of young men together to be challenged from what the society viewed us as already as being young African-American men to being men of a society who could change the trajectory of how we were seen. Without scouting, I don't know if I'd be where I'm at right now in this light. Scouting it was a foundation for me. It was a catalyst to my life and understanding the foundational morals that it created, the leader, being able to have great integrity, being able to stand on something you believe, not falling for anything, and being confident and having humility in who you are. So I felt and I believe that scouting brought that to me, and I respect everything that it's done for me. And I would encourage every kid out there and every parent out there who has questions about scouting, you know, go visit BeAScout.org and go get information about it, so that you can learn and, you know, be more informed on what scouting actually is, opposed to, you know, form a perspective about what you think is not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think for me to be able to be involved and being able to be an ambassador, being a face for what scouting is, I think it's a humbling experience for me. But I also know I needed scouting in order for me to be who I am today.
That's great. And you're an Eagle Scout, right?
I am. Yeah.
Are there any other Eagle Scouts? Like, is Dan Campbell an Eagle Scout? That would be a cool one. Anyone else in the building?
I don't think DC's an Eagle Scout. He definitely fit the mold, but he's a little rougher around the edge.
I think he could do it. And again, the website is BA Scout, as you said, BAScout.org. As you guys, your group of scouts there, get ready to head down to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. David Montgomery, congratulations on a great start to the season. Good luck this week. Thanks for joining us. Hope our paths cross again sometime soon.
Of course. Thank you.
You got it. David Montgomery, everyone, from the Detroit Lions. Awesome. Great dude. Loved it.
Absolute beast.
Yeah. But I wonder, do you just black out? He's like, nope, didn't even realize it. Just like, oh, wow. Okay.
That play was insane.
That play was one where
crazy.
It's one where you text your friends and say you rewind it and you watch it 15 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to send that to Kyle and redecorate the locker there with the scepters. Okay. Bruce Feldman right around the corner. We'll talk college football, Oregon, Ohio State, among other things. Coming up next.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place.
LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
You standing with a photograph next to Sly, and you know, we all know you're what is the height difference between you and Sylvester Stallone if we were doing a tale of the tape here, Dolph?
I don't know, but they put me on an apple box to make me look even taller.
No, they did no such thing.
Yeah, like he wanted that big
difference all the way up there.
Yeah. And actually, the kid who plays my son now, he's a bit taller than me. So he's going to be a lot taller than Michael B. So it's going to be like a rematch.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so what would you say? Right. Just a few inches? You got a few inches on
right now? I don't know. Maybe 4 inches.
Four or five inches. Okay. Yeah. Mike, why don't you come over here? Would you mind seeing him? Because we've got our audio executive. Yeah, come on over here. Let's just see what the height discrepancy be here for Mike Del Tufo and Dolph Lundgren. Let's see. Yeah. What will you tell him?
It's like this. I must break you.
I'm scared. I'm out. Just scared.
Well, hold on a minute. Let's just show.
You want to measure?
Show
the tail of the tape.
Show Mike. Let's show Mike's training regimen for the Rumble in the Gundo.
Right.
Tuesday. $20.
Yeah, all seats are $20.
We're splitting this.
But he's been training. See, he's walking around. What do you think? He's focused.
You got the beef coming up. Hit the beef.
Well, he's got the Rocky fingerless gloves too.
Oh yeah. Now this was a great video.
Okay, we got it all. Oh wow, you gave him a shot. What do you think, Dolph?
It's not bad. It's a good beginning. A couple of years, you'll be good.
There's no end to it.
That's good, man.
Rumble in the Gundo.
It is the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Rich is back on Monday in London this week for another NFL game there on NFL Network. I can't believe I forgot who the Bears are playing off the top of my head. It's the Jets. No, the Jags. Thank you, Hoskins.
Jags. Yep.
The Jags. I know it's not the Jets. The Jets obviously are playing Monday night against the Bills. I will say this, too, like when you're working for only one team and you're not at NFL Network reading the International Series promo 17 times an hour, you have blind spots when it comes to the schedule. That is one of them. Anyway, I digress. I do not have a blind spot when it comes to the biggest college football game of the year, because it has been one that we have circled for months and months and months. And as we welcome in our good friend Bruce Feldman, it is great to see you from Fox Sports.
Great to see you.
How are you, Bruce?
Great to hear you.
This one has not, like, fallen off. It is what we thought it would be. Two top five teams in primetime, both with eyes on the playoffs, both undefeated, Ohio State and Oregon. Like, it's actually here, and it's what we thought it would be.
I hope so.
Wait, you had a I saw a little bit of doubt there.
Yeah, here's my problem. And look, the odds makers, it's only a 3-point spread for Ohio State. I think the game was in Columbus, which it's not. I think it would be somewhere between 7 and 10. Autzen's a tough place to play. It's a great environment. Dylan Gabriel would have been my pick. He probably was going into the year to win the Heisman. You have a guy who's played a lot of football, great intangibles, leadership qualities. He's played a lot of big games. He's accurate. The ball comes out of his hand fast. He's mobile. He's very savvy. And all those things, he can light it up the rest of the way. So far, it's been shaky. You know, the offensive line wasn't very good in the first couple of games. It was really shaky. But then what we've seen from him is he's had a bunch of red zone turnovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, three picks in the red zone. That is concerning. He's going to play by far the best defense he's seen, most talented. I mean, Boise State gave him a game, but Boise State gave him a game because they have the best running back in college football, Ashton Jeanty. Boise State's defense is by, you know, roughly a middle of the pack defense in the Mountain West. It's nothing like the athletes he's going to see in the front seven. Caleb Downs might be the best defensive player. He might be the best defensive player in the country. I mean, the safety for Ohio State, who was at Alabama, doing amazing stuff.
Look how we're not talking about him playing running back anymore.
Because they have two great ones, yeah.
Running backs. Anyway.
I mean, I think Ohio State is my preseason and current pick to win it all. I suspect we'll see Dylan Gabriel's best game. You know, maybe we'll see him keep the ball and run it more. They don't need him running against Idaho and Boise or Oregon State. They may need him running the ball against the Buckeyes. You know, he's not a tiny quarterback. I mean, he's not Bryce Young, but he's also not Anthony Richardson.
No,
either.
He's so not.
We'll see.
I did the Oregon Boise State game. I was blown away. We all were by Dylan Gabriel in our production meeting. I had never met the guy. He's mature. He's an adult. He is a leader. He gets it both, I think, on a granular, both big and small. How about that, Andrew? I can't speak today. But the right side of the offensive line, obviously heading into that game, was a bit of a mess. To me, there was a question, like, had Will Stein been telling him not to run? Like, because there have been some open lanes in the first couple of weeks that they hadn't taken. And he said no, but they also want him to see it, get the ball out quickly. The red zone thing definitely concerns me. I think Will Howard can make plays against those corners as well, those backs. I mean, Quinshon Judkins, his contact balance, his power is absurd. And what impressed me with Ohio State, too, those backs block, those wide receivers block.
Oh, those wide receivers
blitzes,
are awesome.
They block on the edge. I do think Ohio State is absolutely the better team, but Oregon, and we saw it in the Boise game, has the chance at any moment for those explosives. Now, do they get them as much as they want to these days? I don't know, but they at any moment can go 90 yards in like that. I think they keep it close, and I think the home stadium can be a factor. And I also don't know that we've seen the best of the Ohio State defense yet.
We haven't. Our crew, Big Noon crew, had them against Marshall, who's a solid, you know, group of five team. Right. But Marshall actually did some decent things on offense. It just didn't look like Ohio State was that dialed in. The most optimistic part for me, if I'm an Oregon fan, is Jordan Birch, former five-star edge rusher, big physical. He looks like he could be a first round talent. Derek Harmon, who was formerly at Michigan State, big time three technique. Those guys are playing like top 50 picks right now in the last few weeks. And Ohio State's O-line, which is looks very much improved from last year. That last year was a struggle. These guys are good enough and really talented enough at Oregon where they could cause some problems potentially. Because I think they have the stuff to be a high-level D-line, and we're starting to see some of it. But again, Chip Kelly gets a homecoming game, right? Mm-hmm. He was great at Oregon when he ran the offense. Now, he has never, and I would say including in the NFL with the Eagles or with the 49ers, had receivers quite like this, which may sound crazy to say it. Like, he's had good slots and good tight ends, and he's obviously had terrific running backs. He's not had nothing like J.J. Smith, the 6'3", 220-pound freshman receiver. You know, and I obviously had Deshaun, who could fly, at, you know, with the Eagles, but Deshaun was a much smaller receiver. I mean, the guys he has at Ohio State, and it's a bunch of them. It's like five or six guys. You know, Will Howard's not C.J. Stroud, but Will Howard's a big guy who can run and will run. And in that offense, it's a really good scheme. I think this is going to be a really interesting chess match between Chip Kelly's offense with a lot of firepower and a lot of weapons against an Oregon defense that also has speed, but they haven't, you know, they've seen Jeanty. They haven't seen anything like they're going to see in terms of this group.
I'm talking to Bruce Feldman here from Fox Sports, getting ready for the full schedule, obviously,
on another college football weekend, but the Oregon-Ohio State game obviously is the big one here with the two top five teams, both of them undefeated. We're talking to Dan Lanning before the Boise State game, and I specifically asked him, hey, did you bring in, let's say, Harmon, for example? Did you try to go big on the D-line? Because, hey, we're Big Ten now. Like, we know we're going to face Big Ten rushing offenses, and maybe that's my dad's view of the Big Ten, but you get my point. And he said, no, you got to stop the run to win college football games or any football game. But this run game is different. I mean, Judkins and Henderson, they are different. And Will Howard's kind of like that, call it almost like a run game coordinator, Chip Kelly said. He is my run game coordinator. But the talent on the edge there, with Tate, who would be a number one for most teams.
They're like
teams.
Five number one
They're
receivers.
All number ones.
It's crazy.
And then Jermaine Smith, who they will all tell you is as talented a freshman as they've ever had at wide receiver. And that includes every NFL wide receiver right now for Ohio State. He practices like a 10-year vet. He blocks in practice. He never takes his helmet off. He wants to be on punt block team. He could legitimately, do we agree, play in the NFL on a Sunday right now.
Yeah, J.J. Smith is phenomenal. I mean, he is, you know, talking to Chip Kelly in the spring, people were like, he was kind of guarded. Hey, maybe, you know, like they are awed by what he could do. He's an 11-foot broad jump guy. He's stronger physically. You know, they loved Marvin Harrison Jr. Obviously, the NFL did too. Marvin wasn't as strong as this kid. He probably isn't as explosive as this kid. And he played at a high level and has insane work ethic. And I have a story coming out about him later this week about his focus and attention to detail. And it is rare. And look, Brian Hartline, who is a really good former receiver at Ohio State and an NFL receiver, has had the best receiver room mm-hmm. in college football in a long time. Might have had a better receiver room than honestly some NFL teams. You usually don't have like three number ones, you know, whether, and you look at the guys they've had there at one point, and now, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba is a terrific all-around receiver. You mentioned they all block. I think that's the culture of that room that he has got there. And then you add this guy, he's a rare, rare talent. Like a couple of weeks ago was the game Ryan Williams went national. You know, mm-hmm. he's a super fast 17-year-old receiver at Alabama when they beat Georgia in the kind of game of the season. You know, this could be the J.J. Smith, the catches he's already made,
he made those catches before Ryan, like an hour before Ryan Williams that night. Yeah,
just not on quite as big a stage.
Correct.
But like, I mean, you know, like, again, not a knock on Caleb Downs. I caught myself and go like, okay, Caleb Downs is probably the most talented defensive player they got because I know who's on the other side of the ball, you know, and I just know what people say about him. He's just really different. And to say that, considering all the, not just guys who played at Ohio State were terrific there, and then, I mean, the guys who are excelling in the NFL, I mean, like Terry McLaurin, like, they have guys who are like, check all the boxes in terms of like speed, separation, toughness, intangibles, work ethic, attention to detail. Now you put it into this guy who's bigger and stronger and just different.
Yeah. Everyone we talked to at Ohio State said, yeah, he's the best. Like, what? Like all the names you just listed. Yeah, he's the best. And he doesn't turn 19 until the day before the Michigan game. Think about that.
It's going to be quite an ugly birthday present for Moore and Rich Eisen.
The day before the Michigan game. We got Penn State USC this week. We want to get to that one as well. SC's got two losses now. What happened against Minnesota happened. If they run the table, do they have a shot? Can they still get in?
If they could. I mean, they were going to have Notre Dame late in the year. USC, you know, Penn State's undefeated. Penn State has a talented team. I think Penn State's a playoff team. I don't know if they're a make noise in the playoff team. We'll see if their offense is truly different. Like, I think Andy Kotelnicki, the new offensive coordinator, is a really good hire. He honestly does some of the similar stuff to what Chip does in terms of, you know, it's a lot of tackle over. You know, it's a lot of stuff that he throws at a defense. And in college football, that's a handful. And he's got really good running backs. And, you know, the quarterback, Drew Aller, especially, has played very well. It's just, can he play very well on a big stage? As far as USC, you know, I thought last week felt like a step back, right? They went to Minnesota. Darius Taylor is a really good young running back who doesn't get enough attention. He looked great last week. You know, Rosemer, the quarterback for Minnesota, is a transfer who's a good player and he's a good fit. And I felt like that was a PJ Fleck kind of game. We're just going to, you know, grind it out in a very much a Big Ten kind of way. Ohio, USC did not have Eric Gentry, who's like the storkish 6'6", 215-pound linebacker who made a lot of plays going in. They missed him last week. I thought last week was the first time USC's defense did not look dramatically better than it did last year. It's still better. I don't want to dismiss after one shaky week, but I don't, you know, Gentry might not be back this year. I mean, he's had some significant injuries. We'll see if he, you know, if he's able to go or not go. It seems like there's a decent chance they might have to shut him down. You know, Kamari Ramsey's a terrific addition. He played for Danton Lynn at UCLA, came over. He's one of their best players. The area where USC is really lacking is both on the D-line and especially on the O-line. And I think Caleb could overcome some of that because he's Caleb and can do remarkable stuff, extending plays. Miller can hang in the pocket, and Miller Moss is really good. I feel like there are times where it's just like there's a lot on him. He's a quarterback, and he's a really good quarterback, and he's got, you know, Lincoln Riley is a great play caller, but their margin for error is not that big right now. And I think this is because of what we talked about in Oregon. I think this game is not getting enough attention, and obviously USC lost last week. I'm fascinated to see how Penn State travels, not from a fan standpoint, but like how their team does, because this is a different test. I think Lincoln Riley will put some give them some headaches. I just don't know if USC will be able to protect Miller, because now you got Abdul Carter and Zane Durant is like really underrated. He's an explosive defensive tackle. He's like one of my freaks list guys who's playing lights out. Interested to see how USC responds after last week.
Real quick, we were talking before Brockman and I were, and Brockman had this attitude. I don't know if the best team's going to win. I'm like, well, it's a tournament. Like, don't we almost ensure that the best team wins because they beat the other best teams?
Do we worry about that in the NFL?
And therefore a tournament. And that's what I said. I like, you never look at the Super Bowl and go, oh, I don't know that the best team actually got through.
Yes, and my point is that the Super Bowl has never, ever been AFC winner, NFC. NFC one seed, AFC one seed.
But does it have to be?
Yes, like, but college football has always been 1-2. Boom, you play for the title, that's it.
We often debate who 1 and 2 should be, usually 2, yeah. Who they should be. I guess my question is, do coaches view it differently this year? Like, is there a different attitude? Oh, my God, we lost, but hey, we're still okay.
I think there is something of, we've seen teams go, hey, we're just going to keep getting better. And I think there is something to, is knowing you have potentially a little cushion.
Yeah.
To like, snap hook one on the driving range, make you feel a little more comfortable.
Good analogy.
You know, as somebody who snapped hook more than my share over the driving range. But I think there is something that, like, probably coaches are a little uncomfortable with, because it is such a departure for, I'm not saying NFL head coaches aren't like this, but you have, you know, that always that vibe about college football head coaches are like they were the small town sheriff.
Yeah.
And they were like all wound up on everything. And now all of a sudden, you know, you have NIL, they don't have as much control as they had before, or anywhere near as much as control as they used to have. And now you have this other thing with dynamic with the playoff. And I don't know if anybody has a great answer for that yet, right? Like, you got Georgia, who is, you know, with Ohio State, the two most talented teams in the country. They have a really bad first half against Alabama, end up losing on the road. Their schedule is really tough. You know, they've had a bunch of off-field issues, including this week with one of their better receivers. I'm not saying the program's out of control. I'm just saying, like, they have a bunch of other tough games. I still think they're a playoff team, but I think, you know, the dynamic would probably feel differently. You know, they may be able to afford another loss and still go, you know, 10-2, possibly 11-2 if they win the SEC title game, if they get in it. But I think there's just a different feel to it, right? In terms of, like, do you have a cushion? Do you not? Like, Notre Dame lost to NIU. That would have been, because it was a 4-team playoff, hey, you're done. You can't afford that. They might be able to afford it now. I don't think they can afford anything else. I mean, I think after that loss, if you lose somebody else and your schedule is not great, and Florida State stinks this year, who's on their schedule, And again, I just think that that's indicative of you have a lot of different people who have a lot of different realities right now.
Yeah, like in the NFL, let's say the Chiefs win. You know, you don't hear Bengal fans going, you know what, we beat them in September. We deserve to be the... No, you're not. They won, right? And in college football, you do have that sometimes. But to me, hey, if they make it through the playoff and they win, then they win. Like, it's fair. For once, at least my opinion. You have a chance. Can you stick around for two more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, Kyle McCord for Heisman. Not really.
Yes.
But I'm going to ask Bruce. Going to ask Bruce. Maybe he should. What do you think of the quarterbacks? Coming up.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it actually for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
I will say this.
Yes.
I am a man that knows when he's defeated.
Yes.
I was beaten this year.
Yes.
So my business manager was supposed to have the hat for us. He did not.
Oh, we're throwing Jamal under the bus. Who are we throwing under the bus right here?
He did not bring
that. Who is thrown under the bus by the bus just right now?
He's not, see, he didn't even show his face. He's. I was willing to wear this hat. He had it made up.
Well, he told me that the hat that he made up had the final score.
No, he had the hat on there. Whatever. It was a hat. I don't know what that
was. The hat is supposed to read the following.
I am going to... Listen to this.
Okay.
Hear this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and best. Yes.
Wow.
You only.
Wow.
You
know it. I honestly
did
not.
What it took for me to do that.
I honestly can't have thought of anything else that you would do that would make me think that you would not have to follow through on your end of the wager, which is where an I should have gone to Michigan hat on the vaunted field of Notre Dame with touchdown Jesus behind you. But do I let him out of that end of the bet now?
He's good,
that was pretty epic, actually. And he nailed all the words.
Well, he grew up in the state of Michigan. He should know them. He should know them.
I mean, that was like 40 years ago.
I did not know them. I had to look them up to make sure I was saying it correctly for you.
Also, I'm getting visions of, like, Jerome practicing before he came out here.
That did sound rehearsed.
Yeah, it sounded rehearsed. That was great.
That took a lot out of me.
Great job, Jerome.
You know that.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bruce Feldman just had a really big funny off the air. I was laughing, and we're all laughing. We'll get to that in a second. I'm Andrew. This is the Rich Eisen Show, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. It is furnished, of course, it is by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com, or just stop by. We went to break, and I said, Kyle McCord for Heisman. He is not going to be in the conversation, I don't think.
He's 300-1.
For Heisman. But it is great to have a Syracuse quarterback who's throwing touchdowns, and you were there in person. When you talk to Bruce Feldman, when you talk to those in the know and those are already looking ahead to next year for the draft, how do they rank the quarterbacks?
It's an interesting field. There's a lot to like about like Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, who's continued to get better. People love his like his toughness. They think his leadership qualities. He can run. He's got a good live arm. He's gotten better at cutting down the turnovers. It's not last year's class by any stretch. So you got Shador Sanders, who has a bad offensive line, but is tough and smart and accurate. You certainly have Beckett, Georgia, who people really liked, and he's had some shaky moments. He does not have a great group of receivers. Obviously, there's no Brock Bowers there anymore. There's nobody close to Ladd McConkey there right now. He's playing really good defenses often. People I talked to last year about this group coming up thought he was the guy who could be first pick in the draft. I'm not saying he can't be, but right now it's been shaky. There's a few other guys who are like kind of those every year now. You go back to Joe Burrow, to Jaden Daniels. There's a guy who people are like, whoa, all of a sudden now he's a top five pick. Nobody was talking about him a year earlier in that kind of tone. And so you go through it and there's some guys like Connor Wigman is a good example. It's Texas A&M, looked really bad, got hurt, got somebody else stepped in, Marcel Reed, a younger quarterback who can run. And then last week he looked great when they blew out Missouri, who was a top 10 team at the time. Looked like the guy that some of the coaches I've talked to think, oh, he could actually be a first round talent. They saw it. And then you start kind of going through the list of quarterbacks who like have the chance. Quinn Ewers obviously played a lot of football. He's got a really good arm. I think he has continued to get better and better. Now we're going to see him this weekend against a good defense from Oklahoma, probably one of the better defenses Oklahoma's had in the last 15 years. He hasn't, he's been hurt the last couple of weeks, but looked really good, I thought, against Michigan. He's somebody who's definitely in the first round conversation. Arm talent's always been really good. I think people like the development of him all the way around.
But is he in the top five conversation?
I don't know. I think there's people who come away, and this is not fair to him, but I think one of the things that is tough is when you get kind of tagged with what he got tagged coming out of high school, he was the highest ranked quarterback in the modern recruiting era. And that's by like the internet sites. It's not to say he wasn't talented, but also it's like there was a lot of stuff that was kind of sort of unusual. He really didn't have a senior year. He ended up going up to Ohio State. There's a lot of talk about the NIL situation that was part of why he went up to Ohio State. I don't think he really ever had a chance to compete for the job. It was kind of a weird, weird situation. Then ends up going back home to Texas, where I think it was a good move for him. He gets to work with Sark. He gets to work, around some really good receivers, which obviously they've had and they still have. Now it's a different group. And it's all in front of him right now. Like the guy I saw against Michigan, who has a talented defense with a lot, good D-line and one, high-level cornerback, he looked really good. I mean, if he keeps playing like that against the SEC defenses, who knows? There's a bunch of guys who end up as top five quarterbacks. Sometimes you're like, yeah, how did that happen in retrospect? I think there's way less talent. I think there are guys who don't throw it as well who've ended up in the top five before. Again, I wouldn't give up on Beck at Georgia. He's really smart and he's got a good arm and I think he sees it well and I think they ask him to do some things. Again, it's not like one of these offenses where it's a pad your stats kind of system. So, you got Shador. I don't know. you know, Shador's going to be an interesting evaluation because he has really good receivers, obviously with Jimmy Horn Jr. and Travis Hunter, but the offensive line is so bad, and it's better now than it was, but it's still really bad, right? And the defense has gotten a lot better, but still, he's taken a pounding. He's tough. He's smart. He throws a good deep ball. You have a wild card in Milroe at Alabama, who's blazing fast. He's really strong. He's built like a running back or a linebacker. He throws a really good deep ball, and I think he's going to keep blossoming it with Kalen DeBoer. He also has, by all accounts from what DeBoer told me, great work ethic.
Stay there. We got a break. Bruce Feldman, everybody. Round of applause from Fox Sports. And we're still on the TV side here on Roku, so let's do that as well. I cut you off. Finish that thought there on Shador.
Shador, I think he's a first-round quarterback. I know some people who've coached against him are kind of mixed. They've seen some bad stuff. Again, and some of the bad stuff is I just think he's just, I don't want to say, he's just gets, under assault in these games,
yeah.
Right? They don't run the ball well. They may try to run it a little more now than they did before, but it's just such a different thing with him. Again, Dart wouldn't surprise me if he rocketed up draft boards. I mean, he's got a ton of talent. And, he does have a good group of receivers, and Lane knows what he's doing offensively. Dart, I wouldn't sleep on Jackson Dart.
We got a minute left here. I got to see Ashton Gentry in person at Oregon. We know what he did week one. We know what he did last week as well. The guy is unreal. At Boise State, however, can he win the Heisman?
It's going to be really tough. I mean, it's hard for any running back to win the Heisman. The highlights of him are remarkable. Him breaking six tackles. He's
when
incredible.
They know he's getting the ball.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden he's got Kellen Moore back there either. I'm not saying he's a one-man show, but you're watching him break six tackles, and he's got great balance. He's super strong. He's explosive. He's got really good hands. I mean, talk to our friend Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. They really like him. There's a lot to love about him. He's the best running back in college football. Whether, if you ask me, Travis Hunter should be the Heisman guy right now because he's just unicorn stuff. But at the very least, Gentry deserves to be, if he keeps up with this, at the Heisman, with one of those other three or four guys.
Thank you for staying for two segments.
Thank you for
having
me.
Bruce Feldman, everybody.
Bingo.
All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
Father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, BLEAV, wherever you listen.